From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in Applicable Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and games development. I'm Lydia Sinchich, and I make nice games.
I'm Stephen McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Mark LaCroix, I too make nice games.
For this week's episode, it's another Nice Games Jam. We've been given a prompt, and we're going to try to come up with a complete game that you can play by the end of the episode. Will it work? We, and you, are about to find out. And so if everyone is ready, let's start.
Wow, excellent timing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a bit of a, before we get to the prompt, I feel like a bunch of these we've been, lately, these Nice Games Jams, we've been doing a lot of, like, big ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they've worked out really well as design documents, mm-hmm. and I'm really pleased with a lot of them. I'm thinking a lot about, like, the Head in the Clouds one, which I feel like is so good.
That one's fun.
Yeah, last one did not go great.
No, I think let's be honest with our
listeners.
That
one, was pretty bad.
It was rough.
It's at the bottom of the list. near to, if not the very.
It's a fun episode to listen to, though.
It really is. Yeah.
I haven't yet. I haven't.
Wow, okay. Knives coming out.
I haven't because I was worried.
Well, one of the things about the Nice Game Jams is that we do always come away being so surprised how well they always go. Mm-hmm. So when they aren't, like, amazing, it's kind of a shock.
Yeah.
That's the sort of level of confidence that we've sort of tricked ourselves into having. Yeah. But what I'd like to do for this one, and if the prompt is interesting, we can abandon this right away. But I'm coming into this with, like, let's do this as a really simple thing that we can do with a paper prototype that is actually fully playable, like some of our earliest ones.
Sure.
It's been a while since we've done one.
Okay.
That you could break out, that we could immediately play test at an event or something.
We can challenge ourselves to do that, sure. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I'm hoping. Now, the prompt might send us astray, and I'm happy to go as far as it takes us.
It always does.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who wants to read the prompt from Dale?
I typically do
it.
I can do it. That's fine with me. Dale says, create a pirate-themed game about food and scurvy management.
Ooh.
Boo.
Okay.
Dale.
Do either of you like citrus?
that's the name of the game. I guess. Okay, so what?
She usually doesn't, like, force a theme on us.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's where the source of my boo comes from. But the food management, is that what it is?
So it's food and scurvy management.
Food and scurvy management.
That's so specific.
Okay, so it's kind of like a survival horror game then.
Okay.
A little bit, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's you're dealing with the sort of, like, continual degradation of something, right?
Sure.
Thinking in terms of game mechanics.
Yeah.
Some supply you have to keep going, some property that keeps diminishing that you have to bolster.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, I don't know a lot about scurvy.
Okay, I do.
Either. Hey, okay, okay.
And also about food on ships.
Okay.
A little bit.
Ah.
Okay, so scurvy.
Did Dale know this?
I don't know what this is.
That Lydia would save our bacon?
Yeah.
It feels like the type of thing she might assume I would know. let me quickly Google scurvy.
Yeah.
So it is a disease that is caused by a severe deficiency of vitamin C,
right.
Ascorbic acid. That is why it is so often seen on ships when fresh fruit and vegetables are very, very hard to keep. Also very common in, like, the winter if you don't have any things. You can also just get it from, like, bad dietariness.
Mm-hmm.
It includes symptoms, weakness, fatigue, sore arm and legs, bleeding, gum disease, changes to your hair. It's not fun. Mm-hmm. You need vitamin C for stuff.
Yeah.
Typically, scurvy management was oftentimes done, I mean, primarily with citrus. I believe that the, like, derogatory slang term for English people, if you might have heard, is limey. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because they were British sailors. They ate a lot of limes because they were sailors, you know, the world's biggest navy in the world.
Right.
It would oftentimes go hand in hand with management of fresh water. So they would make sailors would make something called grog. Typically, it would be a mixture of water, some form of alcohol that would essentially kind of disinfect the water because it would be still in barrels for months.
Yeah.
And fruit juices. So that combo of things would keep it disinfected, safe to drink, hydrate, and also provide vitamin C.
Yeah.
Scurvy is very, very bad. So when you live on the water, you need to do that. That is, like, of all of the fresh produce, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
The other thing that we could do when it comes to food management that I was thinking of is, have either of you seen the film Master and Commander?
Yes.
Do you remember the point when they're having dinner and he makes the joke, they're tapping their bread and there's, he said, pick which weevil you like, which
yeah,
one?
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, well, he said he picked the bigger one. He says, ah, you see, you should always pick the lesser of two weevils.
Right.
Boo.
So, but tish.
Yeah.
So that was a thing. You would have hardtack, you would have bread, you would have other like preserved things, and they would end up quite hard. And typically what you would do is as you were eating, you would tap it on your table to pop, to like tap the maggots and weevils out.
Oh.
Rats were pretty common on board, all sorts of vermin. That's why oftentimes you'd have a, like a ship cat. It was, you know, it's pretty gross, but yeah, that's what happens when you try to keep food without refrigeration on a vessel in the water.
Right,
right.
So I'm thinking we could have food and management in general, like in terms of feeding a crew, preventing disease, like as a public health game, seems like a lot and kind of against your point, Mark.
I'm thinking a lot about, like, if we did this as a board game, just how many tokens are we going to need for this thing?
Yeah. I think we could maybe focus on, like, I was thinking maybe we could focus on like management of kind of thinking about the weevils in terms of like, I don't know. I keep thinking about this like game that I had as a kid called Ants in Your Pants. You literally was just flick as many ants into this like cardboard bucket shaped pants as you could. Something small like that. Something akin to like, okay, you're trying to like get rid of the vermin or like knock out the weevils from your hardtack or something to do with like all of the fruits that you're trying to get or manage, something simple like that.
A where more it's... physical game.
Yeah.
That way. Okay.
I was thinking like a card game.
Yeah. Okay.
So rather than managing like each individual crew and who has scurvy and who doesn't and have it being really inventory based, to have it kind of like the state of the ship is like a stat.
Sure.
Or something, and then the cards can like you can play a card that has an effect on the status of the ship or something.
Yeah,
That would maybe simplify it a little bit, make it a little more abstract.
Alternative: have it be a set making card game where you are trying to make as many sets of grog as possible.
Yeah.
So it would be alcohol, water, citrus juice.
Oh, I like that.
But you also are trying to negate how many vermin you have by making sets of like rat and cat, weevil, and something else.
Yeah.
And so essentially like so simultaneously you're trying to make bundles or piles or sets that negate, that like prevent you from having to hold onto in your hand a certain amount of vermin, which will subtract points, but you're also trying to restock, make as much combos and restocking of the ship to add points.
Oh.
So it could be something like grog is the best thing possible, but it requires like four or five cards to make one unit of grog to make a stack.
Okay.
But then you could also have like pork and salt. And that's a lower thing, but it's easier to get because it's only two things.
This is great. We can have, and we can put a clock on it. So... Mm-hmm. Everyone takes a turn, and the clock goes down, well, maybe not, but like some out of control metric that you have to handle, and then I like that set making. That
I think
really
it could also be a little old maid like, in the sense that there could also be a little bit like some form of mechanic where at some kind of like with Uno, if you play, you can reverse your hands or take cards, where it's like maybe there's a trading thing, and so you could end up giving someone your vermin from your ship.
Oh, so everyone's got their own ship. Maybe it's competitive.
Yeah, and I'm thinking like it's I'm trying to restock and prevent vermin, you're trying to do the same thing, and it's whoever has the most points at the end based on your stacks.
Okay.
Kind of very go fishy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I'm thinking of two ways that we could approach this as a card game.
Yeah.
One is sort of as you're describing, we all have our own ships, and then it's really just about like drawing cards and influencing each other and trading mechanics, I guess.
Yeah.
And then building sets to solve some sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then, at the end, some evaluation system.
Yeah.
We could also do it as a cooperative game. This could also work competitively, where there's kind of a event deck.
Uh-huh.
That you draw an event and then everyone has to deal with that
by
like little mini missions or something. that everyone has to sort of build a set together to solve, like, you know, or something.
If I'm fully understanding how this game works, because I'm not sure I'm quite there yet, I think that I would prefer the I like the simplicity of not the not minigame tech version. I think that, like, adding minigames makes it more complex. Maybe that could be, like, stretch goals sort of thing.
Well, we have to come up with some metric to determine this. So yeah. The question is, we have, like, a bigger system or many smaller systems?
Sure.
So yeah, okay. I don't know that the scope is that different, but I think probably is simpler just to have, like, one thing and make it competitive.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry as much about cooperative dynamics, which are always very difficult. Mm-hmm. I know we lean towards doing them.
Yeah.
And we like them probably better, but
it is harder to do.
It's harder to get a sense for if it's working or not.
Yes.
So I'm happy with sort of more as what Lydia's describing.
Yeah, yeah. Let's lean in that direction. Maybe we can get some cards out and start trying it out.
All right. Steven has returned with some decks of cards and our white box. Which we always bring out, and we rarely ever really use.
Yeah, it's got a lot of little pieces in it. Thank you, Ellen, for bringing this to us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the nice thing is we have a bunch of, like, little things we can use for, like, currency or coins or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's nice to have. So, okay. I didn't fully understand how y'all were describing this game. The way you were describing it made me think of a trick-taking game, but I don't think that's what we're doing.
No, I was thinking about it a little bit more like Go Fish, where you're trying to collect cards in your hand and then make a set to remove them from your hand. And then that set lids on your side as point-keeping thing.
That's a little more Gin Rummy.
Sure.
I guess.
Another game I've never played.
I don't know. All these, like, classic games are, like, the core, where a lot of these core mechanics come from. But, like, I haven't played any of them in so long. So, is that actually where these games work?
I didn't really have anybody to play board or card games with growing up, so I would play the Hoyle board game, Hoyle card game, Hoyle kids game, Hoyle word game, like the computer game collections.
Oh, I don't know anything about this, but I would love to learn.
Oh my god, the computer game collections from Hoyle were great, and they had the funniest computer characters with personalities that you could choose to play against.
Oh, fun.
The problem was, so I was able to learn just by messing around with them how to do the different word and board games. Mm-hmm. The card game CD was almost impossible for me to figure out just by playing how to play them. And the instructions were just like a modal that would come up and explain the instructions. And so I never played the Hoyle card game CD because it was impossible for me to learn. So I know a lot about board games. I don't actually know a lot of card games.
I bet that was just to totally take the show completely off track. I bet that's like a UX thing where, like, the people who made that were like, card games, everyone knows how to play these classic card games, and then just didn't consider somebody who didn't come to it already knowing.
I mean, yes, totally. But also because so many card games are based on the standard deck, and the meaning of each thing in that deck and the goals associated with the meaning of each thing of those deck, like, as a child trying one and being like, I don't understand it, and trying another and being like, I still don't understand it, because they keep the meaning of the same cards keeps changing, is also not ideal. But that is not a fault of the UI people.
Right, right.
So anyway, I don't actually know a lot of card games.
Okay, fair enough.
However, I do know Go Fish and other, like, collecting bundles for points things.
Okay.
I just quickly did a little bit of Googling, and I found some recipes for food that you would find on a ship.
Yeah.
Nice. And I specifically made kind of, like, three. So hardtack or ship biscuits.
Uh-huh.
I think that could be, like, it's common, it's your lowest cost, it's basically indestructible. Like, you can kind of collect that whenever, and you always get points, but also, like, could come with weevils. I don't know, maybe. But, like, that's lowest point, because you don't really pair it with anything. It just is.
That mechanically could be a matter of, like, a set could be however many cards you have that you can collect.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do a set of three or five or ten.
Yeah.
But they're low scoring.
Salt meat and fish. So, like, salt cod, salt pork, salt beef, basically some form of preserved meat product.
Right. One part protein, seven parts salt.
maybe. So meat and salt.
Okay.
At minimum two things, maybe more, depending on the proportions that you need.
Yep.
And then grog. Grog is rum, sugar of some sort, water, and limes.
Yeah, that's what makes this, as you were describing it earlier, is, like, as a set, like, that's so perfectly thematic. Like, I really like that.
It's perfectly thematic. You could take it pirate or, you know, British ship. It is also, like, arguably the most important thing because you need water first.
Right.
And so, like, that was the thing that was most important. If you didn't have anything else, you could fish off the side of the boat, but man, you needed that water.
Okay.
Yeah. A version of this game that's more complicated, that's maybe more finalized, could also include things like, rum, or, it could have a couple of other minor or rarer combinations or supplies, whatever. But I think these three make a lot of sense.
Rum is part of grog, and grog was in part developed to stretch the rum.
Oh, okay. That's the alcohol component.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess what I mean is that it would have its own utility. But I think just for now, these three things that make three different types of sets.
Yeah.
So grog has very specific, it must have these three or four cards, one of each, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Fish or pork, let's just say, because that seems to be more probably easily discoverable in terms of the recipe, would just have some amount of protein and some amount of salt. And maybe if you put a lot of salt in it, maybe it lasts longer into some undeveloped so far mechanic.
Uh-huh.
But that could be a more variable set of two items. And then a hardtack could just be a card. Mm-hmm. And then the set can just be if you want to get three of a kind, four of a kind, five of a kind, or whatever. All three are slightly different.
Yeah.
And that might be, and also it's not a lot going on. So that might be where we put the fence around.
If you want to have an extra thing, which we don't have to have an extra thing because we're trying to be simple.
Lydia wants to complicate this thing. Let's hear her.
Potentially,
out.
Yeah.
Suet is a major thing that they would have had as rations. Yep. So like animal fat.
Okay.
They could have that as a like, say you have a hardtack and it's pretty low cost, but if you add suet to that pile, it gives you a bonus.
Yeah.
Suet could also go with the salt meat and fish.
Oh, it's kind of a wild card. It's
meant to be
everything.
Just like a little bit of a boost.
Okay. I don't mind that as like an extra thing we can even consider for this version. Sure.
Yeah, but it wouldn't go on grog because why would you mix suet and grog? That's disgusting.
I don't know. People go wild out there.
I'm enjoying the way y'all are describing this because I think you can pretty easily ascribe all of these things to
We can map this base, to a standard card deck.
Yeah, a 52 card deck.
I like that. And then, so in terms of like rarity and stuff, we can figure that out later.
So the jokers could be what did you say? Suet.
Yeah. Face cards could be the things you need for grog.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep,
yeah.
I like that.
Including ace, I guess.
And then red cards could be pork or cod, and black cards could be salt.
Sure. But now we don't have hardtack.
So
it needs to be a specific thing.
Right.
Well, we got four suits. We don't need to split them in half. We can do we can discard a lot of cards too.
Yeah.
Suet added to.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure this. Deck
actually,
had
as for the jokers, this suet, it's not something that is this. I mean, it's the equivalent of like it's a like a marmalade or something. It's like it's just meant its purpose is as garnish.
Yeah, you wouldn't eat it on. You can't make a stack of suet on your own because that's gross.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right.
But it enhances a lower value stack because it makes it more edible.
But it's not something that's especially rare on a ship.
No, no. This is like
maybe not the jokers.
Along with hardtack and salt meat and salt fish, like suet is a common ration.
Okay. So then suet's probably just like a number, one of the suits.
Yeah, that's fine. And then we can work with the distribution of how much of each later.
Yeah.
But let's just decide.
Okay.
So
it sounds like I should remove the jokers, which I have done, because I don't think that particularly applies to that. I will. I mean, it might just help for us to just look at. I don't know how many cards we would have in a hand. I'm going to just say five.
Sure.
That's a default.
Start with that. Yeah.
And then we can just try to figure out. Because it seems like we have something going on already, so we could just fully express the mechanics as we try it when we get the cards in our hand.
Should we start kind of getting a sense of the rhythm of a turn and dynamic between players with just the things that add points before we start adding, like, weevils and maggots and rats? Oh, my.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's part of it, too.
I think, let's figure out kind of what does a turn look like as we're trying to get these hands.
I like it.
Grog is face cards.
Yes.
Salt meat. What is the salt? What is pork or cut fish?
Let's make diamonds salt.
Okay.
There's a slight metaphor there that works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For hearts, let's make that pork or cod.
Okay.
Because they're living creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got spades and clubs left over.
And spades can be hard tech.
That works for me.
I said so.
I was thinking clubs because they're hard.
Oh, that's better.
Oh, I was thinking spades because they're hard, but actually I'm fine either way. So clubs are hardtack and spades are the suet.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
So hardtack, you just stack a bunch, right?
We don't know yet.
Oh, we don't know yet. That's
for sure they need to be the lowest value thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now that we have this hand, what do we do with it?
Yeah.
Right. So what does a turn look like? So we all have five cards. There's some it's actually going to take us a bit. We're all going to have to stare at these cards for a bit and understand exactly what we have.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, so it's set making. So the goal is to replace cards in your hand with cards you want. And so there should be a structure to the turn, should be some manner of either drawing a new card or trading a card or multiple cards.
Yeah.
And then the end. Then you can also maybe, if you have a set, you can declare it and put it down.
Yep. Yeah.
And so the goal basically, I mean, this isn't really that different from every game that's like this so far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If it's just these mechanics. So we're probably going to want to add something a little bit more that's not just like, you know, themed Go Fish. But
yeah.
I kind of like the idea of events. So it's like having like you. So like if someone on their hand, they draw and it's an event they put in the middle and it's like, oh, you've all come to a trading port. And everybody can trade with each other.
Oh, maybe the game does need events for that, in that way.
Yeah, and that could be much simpler. It could just be like, this happens. So it could be, you know, like, turns out all the, you know, all the fish has gone bad. So everyone who's got fish in their hands has to discard them or something.
Sure.
We
could do some flavor text to make that interesting.
Yeah.
But
some form of windfall. So it's like, maybe you see like barrels are floating and you rescue a bunch of fruit from the water. Something like that, yeah. And it could be an event that affects everybody at the table. It could be an event that affects only one person at the table, maybe. But let's actually just start kind of feeling
just
the,
with the
like,
standard mechanics.
Yeah, can you have the draw pile in the middle?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I'm gonna start, and I'm gonna say that I have a hand. So I have two diamonds and a heart. I'm just going to say that that's enough to, like, preserve piece of meat. So
sounds
I'm going
good.
To say I have one thing of salt pork.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Steven's turn, I guess.
Okay. I don't have a set. So I'm going to... Well, no, that's not true because I can just add these... I only have one club and a couple of suets. So I guess I will use these.
So one suet and one...
One suet and two...
And two
No,
hard...
sorry, two suets and one...
One hardtack?
Hardtack, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have to figure out kind of the ratios of different things to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine...
I almost feel like one hardtack and one suet. Or maybe it's just hard... It's like... Yeah, maybe it is.
That
just...
feels one-to-one to me.
Yeah.
If you're going to add suet to hardtack, it should be one per hardtack.
Because you do a schmear.
Okay.
Just imagine it's margarine or something.
Okay. So yeah. I only added one, so you got one, so I only one.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, hard time.
Okay, so I was just thinking that it seems as though, because I also have things in my hand that could make a set.
Yeah.
What we described.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So not knowing for certain if we all just got lucky, it seems like you're always going to be able to declare a set if you want to.
Probably.
But it might not be optimal.
Yeah.
So for example, I have in my hand, I have two clubs, so I could make a two-card hardtack.
Yeah.
I also have, like you did, Lydia, I've got some fish that I can add some salt to. I can declare that. So what if at the beginning of your turn, you can either place down sets or, like poker, replace as many cards as you want.
Oh, sure.
But only one or the other, perhaps.
Yeah, okay. I like it.
And then that's your turn. So you can only... If you put down any sets, that's the end of your turn.
Oh yeah. I think declaring a set is a single unit of action. Yeah.
Yeah. And just because both of you did that right away, let's just say that's the thing that you do at the beginning of the turn.
Sure.
And then you draw cards and your turn is over.
Oh, so we do
draw
back.
Oh, we need
up.
To draw back?
I would say so. Unless you want to at the beginning of your next turn draw cards you don't have.
This
is about information, right? Like whether you have that information now or later.
Oh, I was thinking more of like drawing as a turn. That's kind of where I was coming from.
I'm gonna put my cards back now. Is that what we're doing?
Because Steven jumped the gun. So that slows down the player actions and it makes the game faster. If you can only do one thing a turn, you can play a set, replace some cards, or draw cards up to a certain amount.
Yeah.
But if you're replacing cards, that's the same as drawing them in a sense.
Yeah, I think it needs to be. I was thinking like, oh, you draw one card, so then you have one more kind of like in Go Fish or like in Uno.
Okay, so we're not like poker then. Just like you just draw a card and that's your only choice. So your hand can get enormous then.
Yes. Okay. Potentially, but that seems like
that seems to make sense for the theming of the game.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Okay? So those are your two options. So if you play a bunch of things, you just have a smaller hand.
Yes.
Okay. That works for me. All right. So
because like I have a small hand, which I could do something with, but I don't think I want to. So I might draw so I have more options.
Right.
Right. So in my hand, I can lay down my entire hand and make two sets out of it. Now, okay. So the question is, am I allowed to do that?
I think it should just
be. Or I just have to do one set.
I was thinking it should just be one set.
Okay.
Right. Especially because, like, if we have any form of event or shenanigan mechanics, we want to make sure that there's room for shenanigans, and then you have to decide, like, which one will I put down.
Yes. This also makes a lot of sense to me because then I can decide, well, because the sets can be added to, I'm like, oh, I'll choose the set that I feel is the most complete because then when I draw, the one that's left in my hand might be better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do that. So I'm going to do basically the same as Lydia had. I'm going to have a fish and two salt, lay that down, and that's my turn.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I guess so you have a king of diamonds. Are you, you're considering a salt?
Oh, that's a good point. No, the face cards are parts of Grog, but not. Yeah, so okay, never mind. I don't have that then.
Okay.
Okay, so actually what I want to do instead then, because both that actually messes up both of my sets. That I,
oh,
that I
no.
I had.
Like gasp.
Right, so I can still lay things, but they're just not as attractive to me, either one of them. So I'm going to just draw one card.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm also going to draw a card.
Same.
Okay, so I am going to also, I'm going to draw a card again.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to draw a card again because yeah, okay.
I'm not doing that. I'm playing cards. I'm going to play Hardtack and Swit again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the way I'm understanding it thematically is what you're basically, you have a bunch of ingredients and you might not be happy with your ingredients. So you either spend effort to get more ingredients or you can, you know, make a meal.
Okay.
Effectively.
I'm thinking maybe to preempt where you're headed with this, it's like to what end?
Right.
Like, what? Why do you want to get? I think what might, we don't know what the scoring is for any of this.
Yeah.
Maybe what it is that what we're doing right now is we're preparing at port.
Sure.
We're supplying our ships.
Okay.
And there's an X number of turns, which would give you a reason to play a set before it's ideal.
Yeah.
Like if you're just drawing cards so you have the perfect set, you actually run out of turns.
Yeah.
So that there's a motivation there. So I'm liking that. Mm-hmm. And then after a certain amount of turns, these go pretty quick, so maybe just it's 10 turns, maybe it's a lot of turns.
That's fine.
Then what you've got, you set sail, and then you're either scored, or in this case, maybe there's some this is robust and coded, but like you have like a this is what you need this time. Like go for this or whatever.
Oh, I see.
Or maybe you're like in the dark missions. About that. You don't know what dangers you'll face. And so you want to have a diversified portfolio of stuff. or maybe you just want to go, you know what? If I go all hard tack, that's going to give me a lot of points. But like it's risky because it might not actually serve what I need because there's a huge scurvy risk and I don't have any grog.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, why would you want? I'm just trying to go, what's the interesting choices? That
what is the purpose? Yeah.
Why would we make different choices, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the risk reward, I suppose?
Yeah. That's what's missing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we didn't add any of the, I guess, hazards that are in the negative influences.
Yes. Yeah. But do you like the idea of like, we're spending a number of turns to prepare for something?
That's
and that could be the whole game. Or maybe the game could be such that if you want to play longer, you can go on multiple trips and have like a continuing stats.
So effectively,
or something,
what you're doing is you're either preparing meals or drawing more stuff so you can prepare more meals for the upcoming trip.
Yeah.
Okay. So like right now, I have two meals for this upcoming trip.
Right. And Lydia has something played, and I don't.
Okay.
But I have a lot of cards in my hand.
Right. So you could potentially make something better.
Right.
That might.
But I've also don't have as many turns to place things.
Yeah, that seems good to me.
Okay.
I think that, like, I'm struggling to see what we're preparing for exactly, but, like, you know, it could be a mission, it could be something, I don't know. But I think that makes sense.
We could start, just in terms of, like, this playtest motivation, we could start by just saying, let's all try to get one of each thing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
A grog, a salt dish, and some hardtack.
Well, then I've wasted my turn, but that's fine, because I have the same thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay. let's just aim for that. That might not be exactly... But just for now, not knowing anything else, let's just try for the best of one of each of those things.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
My turn?
Yes, because I did place my thing.
Okay. You know what? I'm gonna draw another card.
Okay.
I'm just gonna.
In the name of variety, then, since that is currently our goal for this prototype, I'm going to play a suit and a hard tack.
Nice. Okay. So
well, let's also see. We've gone like three or four turns. Let's say four more.
Yeah, I don't like in general the you have to go a certain number because I'm very bad at counting and at keeping track of numbers.
We have a counter, presumably.
Assumedly. Yeah. That's just like my thing is I prefer when it's like, oh, when you reach the end of the deck or whenever you pull an event card from the deck, something happens. That's just my preference because I don't like keeping track.
Right. So what is the...
I mean, it could just be the end of the deck.
Yeah, but then isn't everyone going to have enough of everything?
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's kind of what I was wondering of, like, this is almost, like, constant. Like, you are on a journey at sea, and so, like, every so often, I was thinking maybe, like, I decide to take a draw, and I draw, and it says, like a hurricane has hit, and everybody must...
Right. So the events are shuffled in with the rest of things. When you draw, instead of a supply, something else happens.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it could be, like, a British naval ship sunk. Everyone gets to draw three cards because to recover recover resources from the wreckage.
Okay.
Or it's like a hurricane hits, or it's like a scurvy thing, and you need to get rid of grog. And then there would be something that would happen if you couldn't get rid of resources or get rid of a prepared thing.
Yeah.
Sure.
Then you would obtain a negative effect. Maybe.
That's fun.
The trick with that, I think, because that does make a lot of sense, except it's so random. Like, if I draw an event that says, like, okay, if you've some deleterious effect, if you have a grog played, you can nullify this card.
Yeah.
That sounds really interesting, but because we are drawing cards and playing them sort of randomly, you are motivated to try to get sets down as quick as possible, so that's good.
Maybe it's only ingredients. So, like, maybe, like, the requirements for these events are only ingredients. And
not
so,
a specific set.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, like, fire breaks out on board.
Yeah.
You need to
water.
You need salt or water.
Well, what I mean is that there's no choices there.
Fair.
It's just you draw a card and it either happens or it doesn't. You're not making any choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
The choices you're making are leading up to that.
That's true.
But you don't have any information with which to make it because you have no idea what cards are coming.
Right.
You kind of have to plan for all events, and then there's that. Now there's no choices again.
Okay, let's maybe pause on, like, put aside the events.
Okay.
Let's think about...
Yeah. But I like that. I like that a lot, that like, they're just hidden in the deck. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to, like, how do we manage that in a way that makes the player choices interesting?
Let's, putting aside events, like, forget that they exist for a moment.
Sure.
What about if we obtain vermin cards?
Mm-hmm.
So
say,
like, we draw... And, like, I draw a card and now I have, like, a rat in my hand.
Mm-hmm,
and if I have the rat in my hand at the end of the game, then I lose points. What are some ways that I could then get rid of this rat or foist it onto someone else? Like, is it the type of thing where if I give the rat some hard tack, I can then negate the rat?
Yeah.
Or could I, like, try and give the rat to somebody else?
So, okay. I'm reminded of a card game that I play with my family. Because we yell at each other, and this is part of the game, is this game called Pit, where you're supposed to, you're actually trying to make sets as well, but like your sets are like 9 cards, and you have 10 cards in your hand, something like that.
Oh.
Yeah. And so basically, you'll be like, I have this trade, I want to make a trade for 2 cards, and you don't reveal what those 2 cards are. Somebody has to accept that trade, and then you trade those 2 cards, and those 2 cards might be cards you don't want. They might be cards that the other person wants. You don't know. And you might get cards you don't want. You might get cards you do want. You don't know yet.
Yeah.
You just, like, make claims to make these trades. We could potentially do something like that. Like, we could propose a trade on our turn. Saying, like, I want to trade 2 cards. Are you interested? Anyone? And then trade with somebody else.
Yeah. Why would someone ever want to do that?
Because you might get cards that you want, and then you might get rid of cards you don't want. That's the main thing.
Right.
Like, these vermin cards.
If you offer me 2 cards, then I guess I supposedly would always want to do that. Because there's always going to be 2 cards in my hand I probably don't want.
Potentially. Well, yeah. Maybe the number isn't 2 cards. Maybe it's like you have to.
So that's just another thing you could
cards.
Do on your turn.
Yeah. I'm proposing another thing.
That's fine, but it doesn't really change much about the game.
I mean, that's a way to deal with the vermin cards that Lydia was talking about.
I suppose. So if the idea is that you're trying to, like, pawn off. Well, then I would never accept an offer. Because it might be... one of those.
Well, then I get to make my sets and you don't.
Well,
but I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, like, if we have vermin, is that a thing? Would we then want it to be like you have to neutralize it with some of your ingredients, but then you and it's either like you prevent losing cards or is it that you then get a little bit of a bonus for neutralizing them or placating them? I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, thematically, the idea would be that there's sort of just something you have to deal with. I think the game is not robust enough to start adding these mechanics yet.
Okay.
Okay. Where I feel right now.
Okay.
Okay. So, then what direction do we want to go to then add some of those interesting choices?
Yeah. Well, I think we should keep testing what we've got.
Okay.
Okay.
And then like let's play out to see like what our sets can even be after X number of turns.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then that'll help us determine what challenges we should present to players.
Okay.
Because if we all end up with roughly the same sort of result, then what we need is to find a way to change that up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just drew a card, so I think, Steven, it's your turn.
Okay. I will also be drawing a card.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, I am going to lay down a hardtack with a suet on it.
Okay.
Because I need to put something down.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to draw another card.
Okay. I too will be drawing a card. No.
And I'll draw a card.
Oh, man. I also need to draw a card, I think.
I don't know how many turns I'm supposed to go, but this is another.
I'm keeping track.
Oh, thank you, Mark. I'm glad you're good at math.
Okay, it's back to my turn. I've got a grog.
Dang! Ooh!
That's right. Doing pretty good over here.
Yeah.
And there are, let's just say there's three turns left.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a cool moment, though. We all like, were excited about the grog.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to.
Maybe we were
God
playing
it
up a little bit because we're on air, but still.
Yeah.
I'll draw another card.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh!
All right.
Okay. I'm all sixes and sevens over here.
Oh, dang.
I'm going to also draw a card.
Figuratively and somewhat literally.
Yeah.
Wow, who shuffled this deck? It was me. I did it.
Yeah. I need to draw. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yeah.
Two more turns. This is this turn and one more turn.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, good, because I got a grog.
Oh, dang. Okay. All right. Whew. Because there's only two turns, I have to either, if I want to lay down something, then I definitely have to lay down something in the next turn. Mm-hmm. I can't draw a card in the next turn.
Yeah.
That's a whole other constraint. Maybe mm-hmm. there's something about the last turn that's special, but not for now.
Yeah.
Or I could draw one and then just hopefully to get something, then whatever I've got, I have to lay down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to draw a card. And the next turn is I'll lay down. All right, fine.
you took the risk. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't
This is the start of the last turn.
Yeah. I don't think there is any way that I could do anything better in mm-hmm. my last turn, so I'm going to play another salt pork.
Okay.
So I have two diamonds and one heart.
This is the last turn, you said?
This is the last turn. Well, so lay down the best thing in your hand.
I don't have anything else. So okay. I guess I just draw.
All right. So perhaps that would be a reason for you to keep drawing. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
All right. So I've got, I'm just going to lay down some salt pork, but it's just one heart and one diamond.
Okay. Because
my hand is full of hearts and no diamonds.
Oh, dang.
I guess
you could maybe lay down the salt pork by itself, but there'd be some way that it would go bad immediately or something.
Yeah. So my thing is, I was kind of like in ascending complexity, but also ascending point. So I have like suet and hardtack is 1-1, and then two diamonds for one meat is how I was doing salt pork, salt fish.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I'm still operating on the idea that like you can make your set better or worse by how much you like how much salt you apply to the pork, or how many. Hard tacks. If you have, you could put down three hard tacks or two hard tacks and two suets.
Fair.
Or...
I mean, I also couldn't do anything else because I didn't have any other diamonds.
Yeah. Okay, so we all have three sets.
Yes. We do.
But they're all quite different.
Steven has grog and two hard tack suets.
Yes.
Mark has grog, a hard tack suet, and
a weak pork.
Weak pork.
Yeah.
And then I have strong pork.
Two strong porks.
And one hardtack, one hardtack suet.
Yeah. Steven, so we're in the midst of making a card game.
Yes.
Which is not something we've done in a while.
It has been a bit. It
reminds me a little bit of another card game we once made.
Oh, which one is that?
It's called Glom.
Wow.
And we made it so good and so fast and so amazing that it got picked up by a publisher, and it's on store shelves now.
Yeah.
You can buy it. Where can you buy it?
Nicegames.club/glom.
That's fantastic. Why might you want to?
Because you like rewriting words, rewriting phrases, rewriting other things.
Wait, so I was saying it's a card game, but you're saying it's a word game?
It's both.
Oh,
that's
man.
Why it's so cool.
Wow, now, you mean I actually get to play a game that you've made that yeah. is a card game and is probably... Because I really like what I'm hearing so far.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of chomping at the bit for something.
Yeah, okay. Steven, can Lydia play with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, really? So, like, how many players can play?
Near infinite.
Wait, so it's not just a card game. It's not just a word game. It's a party game?
Yeah.
Where can I find this party game, gosh. Word game, card game?
Nicegames.club/glomp.
Okay, so then the idea then that I was thinking of is that now something happens
right.
that tests the our
sure.
our inventory.
Yeah,
I guess that's the question. Mm-hmm. Does it test our supply or does it test the cards in our hand or both?
Yeah, I think the cards in our hand either are at this point, now I have no idea, but like you could say that then these are just this is just the stuff you didn't get at market. It's gone.
Yeah, that's what I was
That's
thinking.
One way of doing it. The other way is like you hold this in your hand for the next round maybe.
Yeah.
If the game goes longer than this,
mm-hmm.
It seems like because we played about 10 rounds.
Yeah.
And so, but it went by relatively quickly.
Yeah.
So that doesn't feel like it should be the whole game.
Yeah. You know? So I'm kind of, so bringing up the idea of like the salt and different strengths of meat.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of thinking that maybe like ultimately your goal is like determining how far you can travel and depending on what you have and what reveals from maybe an event deck
okay.
that removes different things, and as long as you still have something, you can keep
your
traveling.
Supplies dwindle.
Dwindle as you keep going. So, like, right. you'll draw an event deck, and it'll be like, "Oh no, you need meat for protein." I don't know.
Yeah.
and so, like, you have to, you know, use up your meat, and if you don't have any meat, then that's it, and then you're out.
Yeah,
and you just keep going. You just keep drawing event decks, and it'll keep dwindling your resources until you don't have enough, and then your trip has to end, or you're the only one left and then you win.
Okay.
So then it's not a you're collecting these for points thing, then it is a you're collecting them for how long you can play the game.
You're collecting them for preparation, yeah.
So the thing then is I guess there's a couple questions in my brain.
Yep.
One of them is there any strategy to have variety versus number? There's only so much that we can get.
Yeah.
But if the event cards directly affect your supply, then you don't actually have information to be able to make anything. You're kind of just blindly
right,
making
you're planning
resources.
For an unknown voyage. So
yes.
the interesting choices there are as you're building your deck and laying your sets, you are given opportunity by what cards end up in your hand.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the potential. Now, the statistically, like... the best option is always a diversified options,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, our game can reward or punish that in a certain way. But
yeah.
I would imagine if we don't know what is going to be consumed on the trip,
uh-huh.
then the standard statistical model applies that
yeah.
you should just, as if you best you can, have one of each or a diversified set.
Yeah.
Now, if the cards you're drawing are not giving you that option, then you can lean into something a little bit more focused on one thing,
yeah.
which could... depending on the randomization of what comes your way later, that could really, really reward you or it could really, really punish you.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have something more diversified, then you just are more likely to survive anything at least a little bit.
Yeah.
It's the sort of wide or deep kind of idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, how that really holds up to how we're doing it, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's that's where the interesting choices would happen is based on what you're given. Whether you decide to, because you could also get a bunch of cards that like oh, I have all this hardtack, but I have enough of this that I'm going to try to go for a more diversified set,
mm-hmm.
even though the odds are, because I'm going to fight the odds a little bit, or I'm going to say, oh, you know what? I'm going to just give in to what the cards are giving me and really lean into this and not try to build up my grog.
Yeah.
You know?
So I guess another question. So I think we've kind of agreed that the remaining cards that are in our hand, we're getting rid of, right?
Yeah.
I think for now, but
okay.
there may be a reason to bring that back.
I'm putting those down on the table. So now the cards that we have made sets out of,
mm-hmm.
are we considering these as three things, one each of the set, or are we then putting these into our hand and like... these are the they're still ingredient. Like, we made sets for the first phase, but now for phase two, in terms of, like, how am I going to respond to this thing with resources, mm-hmm. is that, are they loose ingredients now?
I was imagining them as sets. So you would use one of your hard tech plus the second thing. To counteract whatever event would pop up. So that's how I was imagining it.
And the way we can work with this is like, if let's imagine, so we don't really have an idea what these event cards are, but like I'll come up with some version that they could work. We don't have to use this.
Yeah, okay.
You draw a card and it could say some flavor text, and the result is in order to let's say we have hit points, let's just say, in order to avoid the hit point damage, you need to feed this card, this amount of something. So now you have a choice on how to do that.
Yeah.
So you can say, all right, it requires, like if you have, for example, your great salt pork with all the extra salt, that could be something that could the event card, you could feed that to it, whereas mine couldn't.
Yeah, okay.
But when you do, you just lose one salt, maybe.
Oh.
And it's just now a lesser set.
Like hard tack essentially is cannon fodder against the events. Salt pork is kind of like a reusable resource against events because of the salt amount.
Yeah.
And then like grog is something that's pretty dang OP. Like maybe you lose one ingredient from the grog and that's like four chances or something else.
It feels the grog feels very much like if you've got one, it could like protect you for three turns or something.
Yeah.
That complicates the mechanics. We all have one set of grog. Now, again.
No, I don't.
You don't. Okay.
I have two salt pork.
Yeah.
Not knowing exactly what the distribution odds are of getting one, we both might have gotten lucky, or Lydia might have gotten unlucky. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just from the general impression here, if this is the standard distribution of how cards are, and we know that it's not, we imagine that it is, then it seems like you're more likely than not to be able to have the ability to play one of these. So it should be something that. But it should have a big effect, like a one-time use.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, okay.
Alternately, it could be just a buff that exists for the whole thing. I've got this, and so an event could say, this costs one hardtack, unless you have grog, then it doesn't. Or this costs two hardtack, unless you have grog, and then it has costs one.
Yeah.
So it could be a shield that you play and just stays with you, because you imagine it's like a barrel that lasts the whole trip.
Yeah.
Or it could be something that, like, if you can't, oh no, I don't have enough of anything to solve this, this will solve any problem.
Yeah.
Maybe I prefer the first one, actually.
Could do both, honestly. You could be like, if you don't, and then you use this, but no, now it's no longer grog, so it doesn't protect
it. Gives you a buff. And the reason why the buff makes sense to me mechanically is that Steven and I both had to put a lot of effort into doing this, and we only have two other sets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it should actually be, that's maybe self-balancing.
Mm-hmm. Potentially, yeah.
As well.
I do think also that there should be event cards that will let you restock. So one in particular that says like everyone draw five cards and put down any sets that you have, discard the rest of the cards.
Oh, I like that.
Okay,
that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's a reason to keep the cards that you're having.
Yeah, okay.
It's also a reason to, when you're doing your last turn, to play like, I'm going to play this one set, or I'm going to actually keep one in my hand because it might be a better set if I get cards during the trip.
Yeah.
Which would be represented as like ports of call.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So thematically, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I like that a lot. That's the thing I'm thinking about is, so far, this is why I was a little bit confused about the trading mechanic.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, how thematically does that make sense?
Sure.
But I like the idea of a card an event that lets you draw, because you can easily say that that's everyone pulling into Tortuga or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
Now, exactly where you're going and how long this trip is, that can be just abstract.
Yeah.
We don't have to, like...
Right.
We don't need a board or a tracker or anything.
The way
like
I was
that.
Thinking of it is just how long, whoever it goes the furthest wins, right?
Yeah.
So like that would be sufficient.
Right.
I think that like in terms of like we can come up with a few events and we can have a random number generator to determine what event comes up.
Yeah.
And then the odds aren't going to be good for like a perfect game, but like that's fine.
And you could say there could be, this game could be how long is your journey, and that could determine how many turns you have to prepare and how many events are in the second phase.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean?
Sorry.
So there could be a how long is your journey is something you all agree at the beginning of the game.
Okay.
And that determines how many turns you have to prepare.
Oh, okay.
And how many events you draw after you're done preparing.
Oh.
Yeah. So it could be
got it.
You could just do a full marathon where you go until you empty the resource deck,
yeah.
and then you just keep doing event cards until you die.
Now, I still like your idea from earlier that there's events in the resource deck that like affect that phase. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's not compatible. But I would love to later bring that back at some point. Mm. They would just be different than the events we're talking about now, which is the on the journey.
Yeah, right? I think that would be fun. So it sounds like we want event cards and we want resource cards.
Right.
Sounds like Vermin's out.
That could be something that could go in the resources thing. It's like when you get then like a varmint just has to stay in your hand, mm-hmm. and it does something kind of a debuff.
It
something.
Also could be part of the events too, but I think you want. It sounds like you want Vermin's to be like in your hand.
I think thematically it makes more sense to be part mm-hmm. of the resources as Lydia was really
that.
Describing.
Yeah. I agree. With
I don't. I mean, for now, let's leave it out. But sure. I think that, like the final version of this game would probably include a mechanic like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think like an event could be like a ship cat appears and mm-hmm. you can give it vermin to attract it to your ship, and whoever has the most rats gets to keep the cat.
Oh, that's fun.
And then the cat has bonus points.
I like that a lot.
That's
okay,
cool.
So Steven, you got your hands on the keys.
Uh-huh. I've been trying to type notes. So, I'm not great at it still.
So our events, we have port of call.
Okay.
And that could have multiple types, but for now we'll just have one. And then ship cat.
Okay. Ship cat, yeah.
Yeah. Now thematically, like I like the idea of who wins the ship cat. Maybe that's a port of call. Maybe they're not events. All of them are ports of call.
Okay.
And in one of them, it's a resupply. In one of them, a cat joins the most, rat infested ship.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's a risk reward thing too. Is like you'd want to keep you'd want rats because then maybe you'll get that ship cat.
Mm-hmm.
This also implies a mechanic in the resource section, which is to discard cards. But let's not worry about that yet.
Okay.
Because it'd be a reason why you'd want to get rid of rats in your hand or something.
I thought of a really gross way we could use the maggots for good.
How gross are we talking?
I mean, you can cut it out of the episode if you think.
That gross.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So the thing that is interesting about maggots is that they don't eat living flesh.
Uh-huh.
And so if you get injured and the wound is infested with maggots, they actually won't eat anything that is alive. They are quite effective at removing necrosis and removing infected flesh. And so like if there's like a severe infected injury from something that happened on the ship and you have enough maggots, then you could save that person then like prevent that person, like, and that's the event is like you use medicinal maggots and then the maggots die and you have that, keep that card as like you saved a person.
So what this implies is that that other than the resources of the three sets we've described, and a more robust game could have more than the three types of sets.
Yeah.
That the resource could have tons of stuff. It could have maggots, it could have rodents, it could have a fiddle. All that stuff is stuff you keep in your hand.
I was specifically thinking of ways to use vermin that would naturally come with the food. So we wouldn't be a fiddle, but like maggots would live in the salt, like come with meat.
Oh.
Rats come with heart, come and eat your hardtack and your stuff.
Yeah, but
I was thinking of ways essentially to negate or to use the vermin, the negative things that come from the food resources.
I don't think we're disagreeing about anything.
You added a fiddle.
Right, that would be another thing you could get that would do something. Saying it implies more cards in the deck.
Well, yes, but I'm saying that the cards that I'm adding into the deck are very specifically still food resource related.
I think it sounds like some of the cards would do more than just be food, is what you're describing, Lydia.
Well, I'm saying that like food is positive, vermin is negative. Yep. They both come together because they're in the resource deck together.
Sure.
Certain events... either would like certain events provide opportunities for you to negate the vermin which you are having to hold on in your hand, and that will result in negatives later.
Okay, that's all fine. You just described maggots as a thing for medical purposes, not food purposes.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is that maggots can come along with the food, like rats come along with the food. Like you could have an infected piece of beef, but the way that you get rid of them is you use them medicinally.
So is the maggots a card?
Yes, it's vermin. It's like rats.
Yeah, okay.
It's like you could draw it from the resource pile. It's like, oh, man, I got maggots.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So why did you tell us all about necrotic flesh then?
Because that would be an event card, is like you have someone who's injured. That's to save the person, discard three maggots to save their life and then keep their card for extra points.
All right. None of that is food related.
Yes, but it's still part of, still an event.
The cat is not food related.
Yeah.
And attract the cat with rats.
So what's wrong with a fiddle then?
Because it's not... Do you get a fiddle when you buy oranges at the supermarket?
No, but it's a separate card, so you don't... I'm just super confused about why the category difference is.
Thematically, the vermin are things that would essentially like that come along with food, and you don't mean for it to.
Okay.
Like it just happens. It like it's a hazard of putting things onto your putting food stuff onto your ship. Like it's a fact of life. It's not something you purposely try to bring onto your ship. It's just something your bad luck happened to bring.
Yeah.
And so then when you're once it's on your ship, once it's in your hand, you have to find a way to deal with it. And these are ways that I'm trying to find event tile cards that like you have these things that are infecting your food supply that are keeping up room in your ship that should be filled with like salt and grog. And that are essentially bad.
Okay, so what
and
we
I'm trying to find ways to get rid of them.
So what we need then is we need a mechanic that has the rodents and maggots and whatever else that fits in that category. We need to have them relate to the food somehow because right now they don't.
I think they just live in the – they are things we can draw instead of resource. They live in the resource pile as we're getting stuff from our ship and we can end up drawing them by accident instead of food.
You're grabbing like crates of food. Some of them got
– No, I know. What I'm saying is that they don't do anything to the food right now.
No, they just like remove points.
That's what I'm asking for us to develop is what do they do to the food then?
They take up room in our hand, so we don't have as much food available because every turn we're drawing a card and we draw a rat, that's not going to be as helpful for us. That's actually a hindrance because we don't have any stacks that we can bring on our journey.
Yeah, sure. I see.
But for the player, all they are is ways to deal with events. Mechanically, that's how it works.
Because, right? Yes, but
that's fine
with me. As ways to like kind of make lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah.
Like I have I have all these rats. I don't have a lot of grog. Oh, the ship cat. Yes, I can get the ship cat. That's a way to kind of catch up.
Got it. If
you are unlucky enough to get a bunch of rats and maggots.
Okay. That makes sense to me.
I was just trying to think of like what's a way that's useful that you could get rid of a bunch of maggots and is beneficial to you that feels like a win at the end of the day.
Sure.
Yeah,
and specifically,
yeah, yeah.
Like, that is the thing that's I came up with because I'm a nerd. Yeah.
That's a fun reverse of fortune.
Well, that's exactly why I was talking about it. It opens up the drawing cards that deal with events. That's what these are right now. Right?
It's just that, like...
I was trying to, like, really narrow it into, like, the theming of food.
Right. Like I said, mechanically they don't interact with the food; they just fill in your hand.
Yes.
So that's why I don't feel that thematic. I don't think it's worth putting a real tight fence on that.
Sure.
For what these cards are.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter. I was just saying we can have lots of different things.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let me see notes wise.
So coming back to the rules because I'm trying to write them down.
Yeah.
I'm still not doing a great job. Ultimately, on your turn, you could draw a card when you're like preparing the. During the preparation phase. Yeah. I guess during the second phase, you don't really do anything except make decisions based off the events.
We're not quite there to make that interesting yet.
Right. But you have one of two actions. You can either draw a card or play a complete set. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So then you do that for some number of turns. I guess we could say 8.
Depending on the journey length.
Depending on the journey
Let's
length.
Let's say 10. I think we did. And listeners can go back and count, but I think it was roughly 10.
Okay. And so you do that and then you go sail, you set sail and you just start drawing cards from the event deck.
And that's some amount. I don't know how many that is.
Yeah.
Let's not call them events. Let's call them ports of call.
Okay.
So the journey has a certain number of ports of call along the way and however many that is depending on how long your journey is.
Okay.
So let's just say, 5, like half as many as turns. That might not be the right ratio, but
sure.
Just because we don't have a lot of sets, so like there's not a lot we can deal with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There might be some that have no effect on us, and maybe some that really wipe us out. But let's just say there's 5 that you draw from a deck of 30 or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
So ports of call you draw, and that has stuff that can happen.
Yeah. You draw the first one. Everyone has to deal with it somehow.
Yeah.
Either by with what they've got their sets or what's in their hand.
Yeah.
If they're I mean they could also be like if you have salt in your hand, it could just be like a trader like says like oh we got extra salt so
sure
that could be something.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got the 2 already that we thought of like a resupply.
Yep.
And then the ship cat.
Yep.
And then Lydia's infected mate
thing, yeah.
Right? Which is weird that we'd all have, but like that's fine for now.
I mean that also could be like salt and water could fix it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But then it would
I think that's the key, is that they should, you should have some choices as to how to solve. Right? And either you, if it's a deleterious effect that you have, what you have to solve it are your sets, which have special abilities because they're sets, and then also the stuff in your hand can also solve it. But like, something might call for salt, but you couldn't take salt from any of your sets.
Right.
You'd have to take that from your hand.
Okay.
But if it calls for, you know, the salt pork, you couldn't make that from your hand. You have to, it has to be a set you've already made.
Yeah. Okay. So like the injured shipmate is either spend water and salt from your, from a hand, from your hand.
Right. That'd be spend a reason to keep the grog cards and also not build grog because you need those as raw materials.
Right. Yeah,
So spend maggots from your hand. Would there be a way to fix the shipmate thing with one of the sets, or is it, do sets always apply, or do sets sometimes not supply, not apply?
I think sometimes they don't.
Okay.
I think each one would be totally unique as to how you can solve it if it's a problem, right? Mm-hmm. If it's not the resupply card or the cat or something. I think this would be something, and part of this is because we haven't fully defined them all, is that these ports of call should all be fairly interesting on their own and unique.
Mm-hmm.
And they shouldn't all be of the same type. There should be many that are the same type. And we might have many of the same cards in the deck. So you could, you know, but... they should be like wholly unique scenarios.
Yeah.
But mechanically relatively simple. You just deal with them by cards in your hand or your sets. And there's, I think you play this game a lot, you'd understand maybe the rarity or of the ports of call. Maybe that's something that could be on the cards for new players to understand.
Yeah.
So you could decide like I'm gonna solve this, even though it's gonna cost me more cards to solve it. I don't want to waste the good one because I don't have one of those.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
How interesting that ultimately is, I don't know. I think this game is working out for me so far because it feels like it's not that deep.
Yeah.
And it's also, there's a lot of randomness.
Yeah.
But you still have interesting choices to make.
Yeah.
But it's not that interesting.
Sure.
But that's okay. It feels okay to me.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of like, just sort of like, oh, these are the natural two choices I can make rather than have to do a lot of puzzle solving.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I like that about games where you have to really, really like think of it like, oh, if I add these together, blah, blah, blah. But because we're trying to make a simpler game, I like that there's going to be some winds of chance that, like, I don't have anything to solve this.
Yeah, it's not
just... And then some just like, oh, these are the two obvious choices. I'll pick one.
Yeah, it's not just that it's, like, you know, it's a simple game, which I think is a draw for this. But also, I think that, like, what's interesting about it is thematically, a lot of the things that we're coming up with all make sense for what you would do on a ship.
Yeah.
Like, you're not literally on a ship, right? But like,
right.
This is a fun way to express and experience that.
Yeah.
That feeling.
So I also, in terms of choices, for ship cat, I've added both that the cat joins the most rat infested ship, which does remove all the rats from your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you spend a number of salt meat to attract the cat away from the most rat infested ship. So if you really want the cat,
oh, cool.
You would actually have to spend your stacks of salt meat to,
so who
like,
gets to decide
lure
to do
it
that?
Away.
What if two people want to do that?
To spend the meat?
Yeah.
You have to spend the most.
You have to spend the most.
Okay. So it's an auction process.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a cat.
I guess that's how cats work. Yeah. I don't know. Cool. Okay. Yeah, I like that. I like this. Okay, so, but like, I think one of the things I'm sort of still struggling with is these ports of call are complex, not complex, but like I was thinking of things in terms of like relatively simple events,
yeah.
Such as the threat of scurvy. You need to use a grog or something.
Yeah.
Same.
Those would also be,
I think so,
included in this. Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. So some of the events,
this game needs to be replayable, there needs to be kind of a good variety.
For
sure. You don't really know what's coming down the pike.
For sure.
And some of them need to be like incredibly simple.
Yeah.
Right? Because now the thing we don't have yet in the game is, once you reach your destination, who's the winner? Is it just a matter of surviving? Because that could be something we could put into it, where it's just a matter of like, you know, at a certain point you run out of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a way for us to not worry about what happens when you run out of stuff.
Yeah.
It could just be while you're out.
Yeah.
And it moves quick enough that it's not like you're sitting at the end of the table for too long.
Right.
So that could be...
That's how I was imagining.
But if everyone survives, mm-hmm. then is there a secondary metric?
Well, I'm thinking that's kind of why I was thinking maybe not having a specific number of ports of call, but essentially just how long, how many
until
ports of call...
Until everybody dies?
Yeah.
Well, they don't. Okay, that's the thing is they don't die. They just stay at the port of call because then they have to do phase one again because they've run out of supplies.
Yeah.
Like they're at a port.
So they're okay.
They're not going to die.
They're not going to die in the middle of the sea.
It's like,
shore.
Oh, I guess like we have to stop and spend some shore leave to resupply. The others have gone without us.
Yeah.
So that's the implication, I think, is that like they've gone on a longer journey before they've had to stay at a port of call and start the process over again.
So the game is not over then. So is one player in the resupply, but other players are still
playing? No. They just are out of. They are out of the game, but just thematically, they're not dead.
Oh, that's all I mean. I mean dead in the mechanical sense.
Yes. Oh, no. Sure. Then yes. Then
thematically,
yes.
Yeah, like yeah. if I can't make that event, then that means I'm out of the game, and then you two finish up your event.
So the goal is just
event.
Who can go the longest, take the longest journey.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you just draw. So thematically, that isn't totally sound because that's you don't set out to go as far as possible.
Sure.
Right? You set out for a specific destination.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, there's nothing mechanically wrong with it just imagining that the destination is as long as the longest person took to get there.
Yeah.
Then you can just say that's how long the journey was.
But the thing is that, like, when it – and this is nitpicking with theme, but, like, ideally – because resupplying and shore leave and stuff takes so long and is so expensive – the less time you spend going forward and having those opportunities to do like plunder or whatever, the more money you're wasting because you're wasting time and you're not having as many opportunities to then like run into people and then catch them and get their plunder. So I do think it's kind of like, oh man, we didn't project manage well enough, and so we have to stop. We like our progress has slowed because we have to pause and restock.
Right.
I think that's.
But that's the end
fine.
Of that player's game.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
There isn't actually a mechanic for resupplying.
Yes.
And
no. Okay. No. But thematically, that's kind of what you're saying is like you usually go for a destination, and because I'm saying like, well, not necessarily. It may just be that like. You want to be able to be out on the water as long as possible as a pirate because that gives you the highest chance to then make profit. And if you do a bad job of preparing, spending a lot of time there.
You know, the abstract nation of it could just be like just traveling around and around and around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as you're going from port of call to port of call,
yeah,
like that's opportunity for plunder. And I think some of that would be represented in the cards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You want to be on the water as long as possible before you're stuck having to restock.
Okay, so... I think that all works, but only thematically. I think mechanically it breaks down a little bit because when you supply at the beginning of the game, if you supply for who knows how long, that doesn't feel thematically correct to me. But what we can do is we can make it so that every port of call is a point for the player. And by the end of the by the time everyone has finally reached the last port they can reach before they have to resupply, that is the end of that. Everyone, you count your points. Then you go back to the resupply round and start over.
Okay.
And then everyone is resupplying to continue their individual journeys.
I think part of it is...
And then you can get more points by traveling further.
I guess that's kind of why, like... I liked events as opposed to port of call because port of call implies you're going someplace you can get more resources.
Well, this made sense when we were talking about everyone starting from the same place and going to the same place.
Mm.
If that's not what's happening, then the cards can be whatever.
Well, I mean, yeah, because like, where are we going? And if we're hopping from port of call to port of call, why are we not supplying at every part? That's why I kind of like events, because it could be that we ended up at a trading post, or it could be we're stuck in the doldrums, or it could be that we found another ship.
Well, we're still all traveling together in that metaphor. If the event happens to all of us at the same time, then we are all in the same place, whether that's on the ocean or on a beach or whatever, which is neither here nor there, necessarily. But the metaphor of just continuing on makes sense to me if the resupply is a mechanic and that's just starting the game over again.
Yeah.
Whether that makes a ton of sense if we all stopped at different places or were stopped by different events. But the resupply also only works if they are actually ports of call and not events. Because otherwise, if you lose all your supplies and you're out in the middle of the ocean from some event, that does, even if we don't say it, that does basically... imply that everybody either perishes or the ship sinks, which I don't mind if we want to go that route, but I do kind of like the idea of it being a little more happy-go-lucky, that it's just like, you know, because it's very logistical, this whole idea of like managing everybody's health and food.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, once you run out of stuff, then you got to stop somewhere and resupply. That feels fun to me in a a way that feels light the way that this game is.
Yeah, okay.
So I have, like, for ports of call or events or whatever, you get a point for every port you successfully make it to. Certain cards, when won, enter your stack and give you extra points, like the cat.
Sure. Yeah, that has some effect we haven't determined yet, but we can figure that out later. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar to, like, the buff that the Grog gives you. We didn't determine what that was.
Yeah, that's true.
We just liked that it would do something. We don't know what yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or mechanical advantage. Mm-hmm. So there's, again, like, we have the right idea in terms of we want a phase one and phase two.
Yes.
That is, the game is in two acts. And phase one of the stacking and getting resources prepares us for phase two, ideally. Mm-hmm. Phase two is events or some form of thing that is randomly drawn, and you have to respond to it with the resources that you acquired in phase one, with some, like, rules around that, you know, hands versus stacks versus how, like, those work. And then ideally you are in a position where you can go as far into that deck as possible. Mm-hmm. And once you cannot go any farther, the last person wins, I guess. Mm. And then the question is, if we have, like, a point count that's running,
yeah,
essentially, are we okay with the situation where someone who ends up going the farthest may not be the one who wins?
That's fine with me, because you earn the most treasure or whatever it is.
With the points, because, like,
well, we don't have a point system just yet.
I thought it was points for every point of call you make it to.
I was.
Well, isn't that also a proxy for how far you go?
Well, I was also thinking, like, if winning the events gives you some form of points, extra points or advantage. Or originally we were thinking that, like, each of these stacks is associated with points. It's been floated a couple times, but the question is, like, is distance the only thing that matters, or is there an undercurrent of success?
Yeah, how complicated is the scoring system? So, like, are there, like, victory points that you earn from
doing a certain thing,
event cards or whatever?
Yeah, because we also had the, like, you know, rats, like vermin and rats clog your hand, but they also could cause negative effects. Maybe those negative effects are negative points. Maybe it's just, like, triggered when an event happens. So, like, hey, if you have any vermin, if you have any weevils, you know, all of, like, every one hard tag per weevil is destroyed.
Yeah.
Something like that. It just depends on
there kind are time of what bombs we want in your hand.
Yeah.
I like that. That's pretty good.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I think the points should be really simple. I think it should just be a matter of survival.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. The fact that you're getting treasure, that you're doing pirate stuff, it's not the business of this game.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, we can assume that's happening.
Yeah, yeah, as you go to places. Yeah.
But the goal is to survive, is sure. to just last the longest, right?
Yeah, okay.
And so I think the victory should be tied to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the idea of, yeah, if we have our event deck, then the events can be much simpler. Like, it's a rat trigger. Anyone who's got rats, rats eat stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And then the rats stay in your hand
yeah.
for the next one that comes up, perhaps. And so that could be why they're negative. And then a card came up that is an opportunity to get rid of rats or whatever. And then events that are ports of call are the ones that provide everybody a point if they get through. And those can be the supply ones.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, draw so many cards and play any sets that or play the best set or play a set from that.
Yeah.
I guess. And so that those are opportunities to resupply in the little, but then maybe some of those could also have some that could also be, or instead of it, that could be where the cat shows up, but it could be just the cat and not a resupply.
Yeah.
Or it could be that
yeah,
all yeah, ports yeah. of call have the resupply mechanic plus something that each port of call has.
Yeah, I do have as possible, like, port of call or event things, windfall of resources, so everyone draws five cards and makes stacks from that. And then I have one called trade with each other. So you draw three cards, give one player to the left, to give one of those, one card from your hand to the left.
Oh, that's fun.
And give one card from hand to the player on your left, then make stacks. So those are, like, ways to make the game go a little longer and mm-hmm. a little farther, but they're very specifically like, oh, you've had good fortune along the way, you can kind of rebuild your supply a little bit on the lay, not as much or as strategically as you did in phase one, but mm-hmm. it keeps you going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because it is like, and essentially like, oh, you've made it to a port. This is what happens at the port for the night.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So we have a little bit, and then I added the weevil infestation. Lose a hard tack for every weevil in your hand. Discard those cards from your hand and stacks.
Oh, so you'd lose the, I would imagine they would stay in your hand and just be constantly.
The hard tack and the weevils?
No, the weevils. Like the weevils and the rats and the maggots, they would just stay in your hand and cause trouble until you can get rid of them through some other method.
I guess that's what I was asking. Like, are they always causing trouble, or are they the time bomb that gets ticked off, or that gets triggered by something that gets drawn in the port of call?
Well, I imagine they get triggered, but they stay in your hand to be triggered once again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That feels like what would... Now, how that balances. Maybe that's sure. really deteriorating.
That seems...
We need some mechanic for you to be able to get rid of them. So the cats get rid of the rats. Mm-hmm. Something else might get rid of the weevils. You know, mm-hmm. that sort of thing that you can have a lot of them in your hand.
I was thinking just throw them overboard. they're in our hard tech. That's how we found them. Throw everything overboard.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of ways we can go about it. I think that, like, I feel like in terms of, like, the base of what this game is, it works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It works thematically for sure for me, which I think is good. I think that, like, there's a lot of different ways that we can have events, but, like, that's kind of content generation that I think we don't have a lot of time during the
program. Yeah, I think we're kind of wrapping up here. I don't think there's much more to do. I was really hoping we were going to – I guess this got more complicated than I wanted it to.
Yeah, sure. Mark, thanks.
I wanted to just come up with, like, 3 event cards that we could playtest again, but we ended up coming up with a lot more, and so I don't think we're ready. I don't think we can playtest it, but I think it's in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Definitely build that out relatively quickly and get it on its feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just a matter of – we don't need to keep counters for – scoring either, because with this as we're describing it, the game would go up long enough that you would eventually just whoever lasts the longest is the winner. Now it might be that someone goes out early and then is just sitting out for a very long time, and that is, we've decided to make that game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it is. That's normally something you try to avoid, but also it means that you have to do a lot of balancing and a lot of like catch up mechanics, and none of that sounds that attractive.
I think
to
that
us,
the
so.
Play I would like to imagine that the play is fast enough where like a person who does get out really early isn't that bored. There's like exciting things happening to other players that they can find fun.
Yeah.
Or otherwise, like, you know, it's not that I think it'll be okay.
Right.
But you're right, that is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I definitely feel like we've got something, because I'm sitting here thinking about it. We're back. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's our show. We post show notes and such on our website, nicegames.club. Go there to find the rules of the game we made and totally gave a name to, and that name is...
Grog?
Sure. Grog.
Works for me.
Cool.
Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes delivered to you 1 week early. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. Discuss this episode, or others, or whatever, with your fellow listeners on Discord. Stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello.
So, until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
Lydia, I know you really want to, but you can't share any good ideas right now because this is the part we're editing out.
I know.
I know you have a lot loaded.
Can you just see it?
I can feel the energy coming off of you.
Like tick, 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 tick. Little hamster is running really fast.
Yeah.
Too bad it's not a visual format. The audience can't start learning my tells.